Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the Intel Developer Forum in San Francisco, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Pedro Domingos, professor at the University of Washington. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Pedro, you were at our first analytics summit yesterday, and you talked a little bit about your work in the field of artificial intelligence. Why don't you just start with a description of yourself and what you do at UW?
Sure. I've been doing machine learning research for 20 years, since I was a grad student. I said to people, machine learning is going to take over the world one day. And that seemed like a silly thing to say. And and guess what? It's actually happening now. So a lot of my work, even going back to my PhD, has been, there's different paradigms in machine learning, different schools of thought, like the people who do neural networks and the ones who do evolutionary simulation and Bayesian learning. And a lot of the goal of my research is to try to unify all of those into one grand unified theory of machine learning, one algorithm that we can use for all the different things that we use machine learning algorithms for.
And you did come out with a book called The Master Algorithm. Tell me a little bit about what is the master algorithm and what you mean by that.
The book came partly out of my research, partly out of me seeing that there was a huge need. There is a huge need for people to understand machine learning. It's not just for us geeks anymore. Mm-hmm. Every professional, every citizen, every policymaker, and every business leader needs to understand machine learning. So part of the goal in writing the book was to just to give people a general understanding of machine learning, not at the level of, you know, it's like driving a car. You don't need to know how the engine works. The designers, the engineers, the mechanics need to know how the engine works. But you need to know where the steering wheel and the pedals are. And people today don't even know that machine learning algorithms have a steering wheel and pedals. My other goal, right, was to entice people to this goal of inventing the master algorithm. So the way the book is organized is there are these five tribes of machine learning, the connectionists, the symbolists, the Bayesians, the analogizers, and which one did I miss out?
Well, they've got to read your book to find out.
Exactly. But they each have their own master algorithm. So the concept is this. We're all used to the idea that a computer is a machine that can do anything. But we have to program the computer to do each one of those things. If I want a computer to play chess, I need to program it to play chess. If I want it to do medical diagnosis or credit scoring, I need to program it to do that. The thing that is amazing about machine learning, and what is, I think, very unknown or unintuitive to most people, is that in machine learning, the same algorithm can do all of these different things.
Interesting.
The same machine learning algorithm will play chess if you give it chess games to learn from. It will learn to do medical diagnosis. It will literally diagnose x-rays with, you know, here's a tumor, if you train it with the corresponding data. So it's a master algorithm, the same way that, you know, a master key is a key that opens all locks. And the learning algorithm is an algorithm that can, in principle, learn anything. And in fact, each of these tribes, they have their own master algorithm. Like for the connectionists, or deep learning as it's known these days, there's backprop, that there's a proof that that algorithm can learn anything if you give it enough data and infinite computing resources,
right.
But in practice they don't. So the question is, like, is there an algorithm that really can learn in all of these cases as well as the individual algorithms? And that's why we need the unification. A good analogy for this is, like, the master algorithm is for machine learning what the microprocessor is for hardware. Right, whatever you want to do with a computer, there's always an ASIC that does it better. And yet a microprocessor is what people use for everything.
Right.
Precisely because it's general purpose. In machine learning right now, we're actually still a little bit at the stage of the ASICs, and we need to come up with the equivalent of the microprocessor.
So we're really shifting from a moment when computers are programmed, they used to be programmed to do, now they're going to be programmed to learn.
Exactly. But it's a lot easier because the data does more of our work for us, right? I joke to my students, you know, if you're dumb and lazy, come into machine learning. While your colleagues work hard on programming things, you just, you know, a learning algorithm can be 100 lines of code and it can easily learn a million because the data does the rest of the work.
Where are we in the journey? You've been involved in this space for 20 years. Where are we in terms of our advancement in this space, and what do you expect next?
Yeah, so definitely one of the big applications of machine learning is choosing things for you online. It's one of the things that people don't realize, but almost everything that you do on any of these sites, it's not just Amazon or Netflix, like Google. When you type in search keywords, it's a machine learning algorithm that chooses the pages to show you. Or Facebook, it's a machine learning algorithm that chooses the updates. And Twitter is basically a big machine learning algorithm choosing which tweets to show to whom. So there's the online world. And there, I think, what we see now is that every company has its own learning algorithm to do this. where we're going in the future is that the algorithms are not very smart because they know very little about you, mm-hmm. right? Netflix just knows your movie ratings, and Amazon just knows the things that you do on their websites. We want learning algorithms that learn from more and more of the data that you generate, and as a result, they know you better and better, and they can make better and better recommendations, not just for one thing, but for everything,
right.
For jobs, for where to go to school, you know, even for who to date.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the offline world of hardware things, which increasingly, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in sort of like the world of atoms that are increasingly using machine learning, and people are also less aware of those.
Now, you describe in your book a vision of the future where society has changed fairly dramatically because of machine learning. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, my belief is that if you follow this trend that I was just describing, we're going to become a society of models. You're going to have a model of you.
Mm-hmm.
That knows you better than your best friend. It was learned from all the data that you've ever generated, and it really knows how to choose and recommend the very best things for you at each point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just small things like products to buy, but things like, you know, where to go to school and even who to marry. And of course, it'll make mistakes, but it'll learn from those mistakes. And then what's going to happen is that your model is going to interact with everybody else's models on your behalf. So if you're looking for a job, you click on the Find Me a Job button on LinkedIn, and
mm-hmm.
your model goes and interviews at all the open positions that match your specs. Your model talks to their model, and then the most promising ones get selected to try out in the real world. Same thing with dating. Your model goes on millions of dates and selects the best few people to actually date in real life. So there's going to be this kind of like ecosystem of models that are generating what then happens in the real world, a little bit like your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what happens in your head is subconscious, and really the few things that get selected go into your conscious self. I think in a way the society of models is going to be like a collective subconscious of all of humanity that happens in cyberspace, and then we only become conscious, if you will, of the things that we're actually going to do.
As you describe this, the business opportunities are ripe in terms of the types of services that could be delivered by creating these models. I would assume that's why so many companies are interested in development in this space.
Yeah, if you believe that there's going to be this, you know, you have your model, I have my model, and I really can't live without my model, right? It's even more than without my smartphone. Then, you know, think of all the business opportunities, right? For example, these days, you know, a lot of people develop apps. And each of those apps is standalone and tries to keep you in the app for as long as possible.
Right.
But we only have patience for so much apps. The apps of the future, there's going to be your model sitting between me and the app. So what I want as an app developer is to develop apps that will be very flexible, very adaptable, and
mm-hmm.
will work very well with other apps so that the model will be customizable.
Fantastic. When you look at the data scientists and the software developers out there, where do you think they need to go to take the next step towards this?
Yeah, I think in the future, almost all software is going to be a mix of programmed and learned.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what we have is people who are software engineers and they don't use machine learning at all.
Right.
And then you have data scientists, who are actually people who, they use software, but they don't develop software. They build a classifier, but it's the data that builds the classifier. So these two worlds are actually quite different. You're either using machine learning or using software engineering. What's increasingly happening, and some companies are already taking steps towards this, but 10 years from now, this will be how everything gets done, is there's a very intimate mix of software development and machine learning. There's this little part that's learned that's embedded in a larger system, that's software, that's embedded in a larger system where, you know, larger parts are learned, and the boundary between the two is going to keep shifting. So the people who really have a lot of future in this are not the pure data scientists or the pure software engineers, it's the people who can do both. So
right.
What I recommend to software engineers is learn more data science, and what I recommend to the data scientists, paradoxically, is, you know, learn more software engineering.
When you describe that new society where models are matched with their humans, what is the time frame that you think it's going to take for us to go from where we are today to that new reality?
Yes, some of it is already happening today. So there are these individual recommender systems like Amazon and Netflix has. The other thing that's starting to happen today, and we're going to see a lot of stuff happen in just the next few years, is the virtual assistants. There's Siri, there's Cortana, there's Google Now, there's the Echo. All these virtual assistants, they want to be this model of you. They want to capture all of your data and want to use all of the data to learn a model of you. So these very rich companies are putting a lot of money into doing this, so we will see a lot of progress. But having said that, it's a hard learning problem. So even if you had that data, with the learning algorithms that we have today, you still wouldn't have a model that knows you better than your best friend, because your best friend may not have access to as much data about you, but your best friend is an intelligent human being. So this is that will actually take a long time to play itself out. And it's going to take a lot of fundamental machine learning research, like, for example, coming up with the master algorithm that really is capable of learning from all of that data.
Well, Pedro, that sounds like a very exciting journey to follow. And for those that are listening on the internet, where would you send them to get a copy of your book or engage with you?
My book is available in all formats, hardback, ebook, and audiobook. I think my book is a good starting point because it's precisely designed to give people an understanding of machine learning before you go into the gory details. The final part of the book has a further reading section with pointers, both for general machine learning and for specific, you know, typically people will be interested in specific areas or types of machine learning or applications, so you can follow the pointers. There's online courses. I have one, Andrew Ng has one, Yasser Mustafa has one. Those are good things to do. There are some textbooks. Some of them are very heavy and math heavy, maybe more than necessary, but some aren't. There's also a lot of videos that you can watch. And frankly, what I do is download one of these machine learning open source toolkits and start playing. Enter a Kaggle competition, right? So Kaggle is this site where they will have a machine learning challenge. So, you know, like, start doing that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for the time today, Pedro. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.